Okay. All right, it's been a while since our last cheer. If you haven't really been tracking with us so far, we're on Parakei Tiferet Yisrael. Each cheer is basically a chapter summary of the major points, and each one is uploaded to YU Torah. You're welcome to catch up. This cheer, though, if this is your first time, certainly I think can stand alone. I'll try to give the necessary background so that everyone's holding, but it's a very chazak idea. It is just one of the most fundamental ideas to understanding the relationship between Klal Yisrael and mitzvot. Now you could say, and some of us may be tempted to say, and some of us may have thought several times, or maybe not us, of course, but maybe we know someone who once thought that there are a lot of mitzvot to do, and it's overwhelming, and it's not fair, and it's difficult to keep up with. Not us, but someone we know may have thought that, right? Someone we may know may have thought, you know, this is really hard, it's such a burden, all these mitzvot, all these halachot. Someone we may know may have said that at one point in their lives. And this is the question the Maharal tries to address head on. He asks, all these mitzvot, so many, many mitzvot, all these mitzvot, is it beneficial to us at the end of the day? Is it helpful? Is it beneficial to us that we have so many mitzvot? Now, Pashtu to the Pasuk, says the Maharal. Vayitzivenu Hashem Elokeinu la'asot ha'chukim ha'ela la'tov lanu. It's good for us, no? He says, well, maybe that's not vadai. Ask everyone to mute themselves. Can I mute everyone? I'm really not sure how to work this just yet. Okay, I don't know how to mute everyone, so just, I guess, mute yourselves. So says the Maharal, posture to the Pasuk is latov lanu, the mitzvot are good for us. He says, but that isn't, okay, it could be in general the mitzvot are good for us, lav davka, having so many mitzvot is good for us. But can anyone think of perhaps an alternative source that suggests, no, davka, having so many mitzvot is good for you. The more the better. The more the better. Can anyone think of a source that's like that? Anything they've ever heard or say frequently, maybe in shul, after you learn a little bit between Mincha Ma'ariv. Maybe it's just my shul, I don't know. Yeah, no. I heard from Sam, Noam had his hand up. Exactly, exactly. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lizakot et Yisrael. Plain and simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Israel more meritorious. So what did he do? Lefikach. Hirba lehem Torah mitzvot. Not just he gave mitzvot and mitzvot are good. No. How do you make Klal Yisrael even more meritorious? You give them a lot of mitzvot. As many mitzvot as possible. This is so counterintuitive. Meaning, isn't the risk as big as the reward? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to test Klal Yisrael. So he gave him a lot of mitzvot. You pass, huge zchut. You don't pass, terrible. Awful. Right? The more mitzvot, the more room for failure. It's counterintuitive to say that this is a net gain for Klal Yisrael to have so many mitzvot. So how do we work through this? Maharal brings in the answer of the Rambam. And the Rambam says as follows. If you do a single mitzvah properly, with the right intent, the right kavana, not for ulterior motives, I'm not saying that's the easiest thing in the world, even though it's one mitzvah, you do it properly, you're zoche chaye olam haba. You just have to do one perfect mitzvah. So what does it mean that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mezakeh us, so he gave us a lot of Torah mitzvot? Well, what he did was he gave us so many mitzvot, that way the odds that one of them we're going to be able to do well and properly one time in our life is relatively high. If he gave us one mitzvah and you weren't particularly good at it, or you didn't really get around to it, you know, he gave us so many mitzvot. At one point in your life, find one that you're good at, try to do it properly, and you get olam haba. That's the Rambam's answer to why it is a good thing. Now, the Maharal takes issue with this, and he says as follows. Sorry, but before we get there, the Rambam brings a proof text. He brings a proof for his Shita. He says as follows, there is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I believe. Yeah, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that Rabbi Chanina ben Tardion asked Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, what are my chances in Olam Haba? How's it looking for me up there? And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, well, klum ma'ase baliyadcha. Have you ever done a good deed? And Rabbi Chanina ben Tardion says, you know, as a matter of fact, I have. Chanina ben Tardion says, as a matter of fact, I have done a good deed. There was this one time where I had two piles of money. One was for Purim, and one was for the poor, and it kind of got mixed together, and I gave it all to the poor. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says, wow, unbelievable. If that's the case, halavai, then my chelek in Olam Haba will be like your chelek in Olam Haba. Says the Rambam, we see. What does Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma ask? Have you done a mitzvah? What does Rabbi Chanina ben Tardion answer? Yeah, I've done a mitzvah properly. And then he gets Olam Haba. Clearly the Rambam is correct. So the Maharal takes issue with this Rambam and he says, first of all, how does the Rambam answer this pretty famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we quote every Rosh Hashanah, which is to say that how are you judged on Rosh Hashanah? How are you judged on Rosh Hashanah? You should see yourself going into Rosh Hashanah as a Beinoni. How are you judged on Rosh Hashanah? How do you get a positive deen? Someone tell me. Someone tell me, how do you get a positive judgment in Rosh Hashanah?
If your mitzvot outweigh your avera.
There we go. Your mitzvot outweigh your avera. You got to tip the scale. Right? You just have to have more mitzvot than averot, and then you're in the positive category. Wait one second. If you have more avera than mitzvot, you're a Rasha, says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. If you have more avera than mitzvot, you're a Rasha. And you're nidan on Rosh Hashanah to where? Where are you going? Gehenna. I thought all you needed was one mitzvah. Now you're telling me I need to have more mitzvah than Avera? Doesn't work. That doesn't work with the Rambam Shita. And then Maharal kind of just plays around with it. As he likes to eliminate every logical possibility. What if the Rambam meant, yeah, one mitzvah that you did right, that you did properly, and what? No Averas. Obviously. Because, no, we were talking about when you had no other Averas. Says the Maharal, you know, first of all, then you wouldn't have had to do the mitzvah perfectly. That's number one. And if you had no averas, you'd already be, you know, over the mark. Second of all, then it's not helpful for you. Plain and simple, it's not helpful for you to have many mitzvot, right? Because if failing to do the mitzvot are averas, and you need to have no averas, then having more mitzvot is just as detrimental as it is beneficial. Right? And if all the Rambam's coming to be Mechadish, maybe the Rambam is not talking about this at all, all the Rambam wants to be Mechadish is, yes, if you get Olam Haba if you have no Averas and one mitzvah. Shkoyach Rambam! That's Pashut. We see that all over the place. That's your Chiddush. That's not a Chiddush. Says Maharal, this cannot be the case. This can't be the answer to the question of why it's good for Klal Yisrael to have so many mitzvot, even though minestama, throughout our history, we imagine we have more failures than successes. When you think about it. Overall, chatayim opposite mitzvot. Says the Maharal, that can't be the answer. But the Maharal, as we know, and as we've said in the past, he's from. And what that means to be from is that he doesn't ignore Gemaras. So he can't just say, you know, the Rambam has his Gemara, and I have my Gemara, the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah, and I like mine better, and the Rambam, you know, he can do what he wants with this, but I think he's wrong. So before the Maharal gives his answer, first he has to answer up for the Rambam. The Rambam brought proof. This Gemara that seems to indicate you have one mitzvah and you're in the clear. So says the Maharal, I have to answer this Gemara. So let's start by this. Let's try to actually understand what this Gemara is talking about. And the Maharal just says as follows. What Rabbi Chanina ben Tardion was What Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma was asking was for an action of Rabbi Chanina ben Tardion that was indicative of his character. He's not asking, have you ever done a mitzvah? In fact, the Maharal doesn't say this, but between us, that's a weird thing to ask one of the Gedolei Ador. You know, have you ever done a mitzvah? Go ask Rav Nevensal that question. See how it goes over. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we're asking. Like, this is Rav Chanina ben Tardion. And I'll give you a little bit of context, by the way, in a couple minutes. I'll give you a little context to this conversation. There should be no doubt that he's done a mitzvah. Like, what kind of question is this? What was he really asking? That give me a maisa that represents you. Give me a maisa that you would define yourself by. And what answer, what maisa does he say? He says, my Purim money got mixed with my poor person money. I gave it all to the poor. B'lashon nitchalfuli ma'ot. Exchanged, switched. My Purim money got switched with my poor person money. What is Purim money, by the way? It's money for a se'uda. On Shabbat and Yom Tov, there's Kedushat HaYom. And your se'uda is a mitzvah. Because you're Mekadosh the Yom through the se'uda. On Purim, you have to be Koveya, a se'uda, at least, you know, to a certain degree. But eating more is not a mitzvah, strictly speaking. Because you're not honoring anything. There's no Kedushat HaYom that you're honoring with your food. You're just eating a lot. Now, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But as far as mitzvot go, it's about the most physical one we have. Me'ot Purim, the money you invest in Purim, which is a day that has no Kedushat HaYom, and a day that you're eating and drinking in excess, is about the most physical endeavor that we have in the mitzvot. It is kulo gashmi, entirely a physical pleasure. Happens to be on Purim, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be having a physical pleasure, but that's what it is nonetheless. In contradistinction, aniyim, poor people, have zero pleasure in this world. If you're wondering if the poor person living on the street, eating scraps, in the rain, in the cold, lying on the ground, if you're wondering if his reward is in this world or the world to come, where do you think it's coming from? It's not in this world. What does he have in this world? What material benefits does he have in this world? Very little physical reward in this world. So if you want a beautiful symbol for money, let's say, that represents Olam Hazeh, we're going to say Purim food. Why? It's about the most gashmi thing you can do. It's eating and eating and eating and eating. It's gashmi. It's physical, this world benefits, this world pleasures. And if you want to talk about money as a symbol that represents something that is not of this world, not gashmi, not physical, but of the next world, that's money for the poor. Because poor people have very little chelik in this world. They enjoy very, very little from this world. Says the Maharal, this is all a symbol. What does it mean, mitchalef ma'ot purim im ma'ot ani'im? He says, mitchalef, I traded my olam hazeh for olam haba. Meaning, this one instance where things got confused and I didn't know what was gashmi and what was ruchani. I didn't know which money was for the physical and which money was for the spiritual. What did he do? Did he say, okay, so I'll err on the side of caution and give more to the anim? No, says the Gemara, he gave everything to the anim. So what Rabbi Chanina ben Tardion is saying, in the suffix situation, I would exchange everything I have in this world and every physical pleasure that I have if it's for the sake of my olam haba. That is the symbol that he was conveying. And through that, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma discerns that you are truly a ben olam haba. And I know what you're thinking, okay, the Maharal is a beautiful idea, but the Rambam has pshat in the Gemara. Because that seems a little bit of a stretch. No, it seems symbols, you just ask for an action. I'll show you that characteristically, the Maharal is on point in the pshat. Read the Gemara. Look at the entire thing. The Maharal doesn't bring this in, but look at the entire Gemara. It just doesn't make sense if you don't understand it this way. What's going on here is Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran is teaching Torah b'shat shmad, where it's usher, where he's going to be put to death for it. As the Maharal points out, the Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran was given one of the most gruesome, brutal deaths ever recorded. So he really seemed to be a person who got very little benefit out of this world and got it all in the next world. But look at the Gemara we're talking about. Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran is teaching Torah. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma came up to him and said, "What are you doing? They're going to kill you. They're going to find you teaching Torah, and they're going to kill you." And Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran said, "I'll be okay." And Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says, "What do you mean? What do you mean you'll be okay? It's also to teach Torah. You're not allowed to teach Torah. The punishment is death. If you continue to do so, they're going to kill you. Simple as that. I'm giving you a real reason to stop here. You should not be doing this. And you're responding to me, it's going to be okay? Nothing? You're not giving me any legitimate response to justify your behavior?" And then, seemingly, Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran completely changes the subject. And he says, "Mani le'olam haba? You think I'm going to Olam Haba?" And then, as if nothing happened, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says, "Oh, well, have you ever done a mitzvah?" Again, a weird question to ask a gadol hador, especially one who's currently risking his life for teaching Torah. But if you understand it according to the Rambam, it has to be that simple. A strange changing of the subject, and a literal question, "Have you ever done a mitzvah?" Which should have been self-evident at that point. To which Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran responds the response that we gave. And then Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma gives the response that he gave, and end of conversation. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma is makabel what Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran was saying. Chanina ben Tahar Dioran continues to teach Torah. He was caught, and then he was killed. What happened to the first half of this conversation? Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma asked a legitimate question. Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran didn't give him a good answer. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said, "You're not giving me a good answer." Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran changed the subject. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma spoke to him. End of conversation. Can you even follow this Gemara? What's the Does the Gemara even make sense? Is there a retzef here? Why did he change the subject? And how was Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma just okay with that? Wasn't changing the subject at all. Let's try to understand it the way the Maharal was saying it. What did Rabbi Chanina ben Tahar Dioran just say to Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma? "One time in my life, I was presented with the option to give up everything I have in this world for the sake of a little bit more Olam Haba. To give up all physical benefits, all physical pleasures, rather than risk losing an ounce of my Olam Haba. You know what I did? I gave it up. And I said, I don't care about anything in this world. I only care about the next world. So let's complete the conversation for them. You're asking me why I'm teaching Torah if they're going to kill me? And you want an answer? I know they're going to kill me. And it's worth that 5 more minutes of Torah that I'm going to teach. Because I had that choice. And I made it. And nothing in this world is worth to me having more Olam Haba." So he gave him the exact answer to the question that he was looking for. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma was in shock, and he accepted his answer. See, now the Gemara makes perfect sense, according to how the Maharal understands this conversation. But now back to our topic. Now, whether you go by the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah or the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, seemingly, we have no proof. It seems very difficult to entertain what the Rambam suggests, that it's all about doing one mitzvah properly. So says the Maharal, let's go back to our kasha. And I'll tell you the pshat. And this is very consistent with everything we've said so far. So certainly the ideas have been developed slowly and properly, such that we should, you know, wrap our minds around it. But explains the Maharal, being obligated in a mitzvah or many mitzvot is in itself a stature. Sure, there is the accomplishment and the failure of mitzvot that are key elements of your development and of course your Olam Haba. But being chayav in a mitzvah is already a spiritual status. it is reflecting of something, of some degree of spiritual status already. What does that mean? See, you don't have a mitzvah to fly. Why don't you have a mitzvah to fly? Well, you can't fly. You can't fly. But you have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Why? Well, because you have the capacity for a charity. Right? Now, what if you have 50 mitzvot about chesed? That means you have a very large capacity for charity. So what does it mean to have so many mitzvot? Understanding that the mitzvot are our spiritual refinement, it means that we have a very large spiritual capacity. The existence of that capacity, or our obligation towards the mitzvot, which reflects the existence of that spiritual capacity, was a massive, massive gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you think about it like this, if Olam Haba is this reality where we get to reside amongst God, you know, then the more similar we are to God, the better the better fit we are to Olam Haba. And what it means that God created us with so many mitzvot, what it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us so many mitzvot, is that He created us already with the capacity towards those mitzvot. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spiritually fit in every fathomable way, then the more mitzvot we have, the more spiritually fit He created us. Think about the stature we're being created on as already so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Already more fit towards mitzvot. Already more similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because giving us the mitzvot means that He gave us the capacity to do them. And we discussed this in the past, but I'll remind you, because it's been a while. We discussed in the past that the mitzvot are not a list of responsibilities so that God will call you a good person and put you in Olam Haba. A mitzvot are, in a certain regard, like a diet. A diet is not a list of random restrictions that you have to follow so that your doctor will call you healthy. That is absurd. No. A diet is restrictions that are a function of your very being and what is healthy for it. And following them objectively makes you a healthier individual. It has nothing to do with what your doctor calls you or not, and they're certainly not random obligations. They are functions of your being and what is objectively good for you, and following them makes you objectively healthy. Mitzvot are no different. I mean, I guess they're different in a sense, but for all intents and purposes here, mitzvot are no different. They're not random responsibilities so that God will call you a good person. They're a function of your being so that you can be more spiritually fit. Having more mitzvot means fundamentally you are more spiritually fit. You have 50 mitzvot in Ben Aaron Mechavero, that means you have a massive capacity towards chesed. You got 100 mitzvot in Ben Aaron Lamakom, means you have a massive capacity towards a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's who you are as a spiritual being. That could never be bad for you. That's already good. You're already more similar to God. Oh, but you might fail. Failing does not mean that's not who you are, right? Because if that wasn't who you are, you wouldn't be responsible in the first place. You wouldn't be obligated, right? Failing is better than not being commanded. Not being commanded means it's not even relevant to you. It's not even shayach. Birds are supposed to fly. That's their tafki. They're allowed to fly. We're not supposed to fly. We weren't given wings. We don't know how to fly. It's not even shayach to us. Wouldn't we rather be shayach to the mitzvot? Wouldn't we rather be on a certain spiritual plane where we were shayach to the mitzvot as opposed to it's so spiritually diminished that it's not even relevant to us? Of course. It's so much better that we're shayach to all the commandments we're not keeping Because that's who we are as spiritual entities, and nothing can change that. That already makes us closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's our baseline. We're already starting there. Wonderful. Whatever you can do beyond that point is further refinement. Of course. I'm not saying there's no schar ve'onesh. I'm not saying there's no better and worse because you're just objectively the same. And if you're created on a level, on a stature that's a mila in and of itself, the more mitzvot God gives you, He can't just give you a commandment. It's hard to say God can't. God doesn't just give you commandments. Right? He builds them into you. Giving you a mitzvah is not giving you a responsibility. It's giving you a spiritual shaychut to His commandments. It's giving you a spiritual shaychut to spirituality, to relevance, to a relationship to Him. Giving you a commandment is giving you an additional connection, an additional spiritual maila to get closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more mitzvot He gives you, the closer you are by very definition. If you choose to act on them, you can get even closer. You can refine yourself even further. If you don't choose to act on them, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but it cannot change how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you. Someone who is obligated in His mitzvot and therefore on the stature of a very, very spiritual being, one that's already so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Kol Yisrael Yashem Chelek Bo'olam Haba. Even Ketanim, who have done nothing, and even, let's say, someone who tragically is killed, as a child, as a baby, even a Tinuk Shenishba, and grew up and had no idea, has a Chelek in Olam Haba. Why? What do they do? They did nothing. Because God created them fit for the existence up there with them. They could be more fit, they could be less fit, but God created them at a stature. It's in their being. Nothing can change that, just like nothing can make you unobligated. You can't convert out of Judaism. You can't ever unobligate yourself. And that's a wonderful thing. Because what that means is you can never be less spiritual than the baseline of Kadosh Baruch Hu created you, which is already worthy of being an Olam Haba. All right, I got to cut us off here. But we finished the parak. Pick up Emirat Hashem, Perek Vav, next week. Feel free to message me any questions, just in a little bit of a rush. Shkoyach, guys.